in the gospel, but most especially in the gospel of according to John, we hear a lot about love. It's John who tells us that God is love. And sometimes, as the priest giving the homily, you look at the gospel and you're like, ah, it's about love again. I'm going to have to say the same things about love again or find a new way to say it. But I don't feel bad that we're repeating the same things again and again, because Christ repeated the same things again and again. And as the expression goes, repetition is the mother of all learning. And very clearly, we just need to look around us, and if we're honest with ourselves, look within us to see that we still haven't yet perfected this idea of Christian love. We haven't yet come to the apex, to the climax, of being able to love perfectly God above all things and each other. We can't even love each other as we love ourselves, as is the minimum required of man, let alone to love each other as Christ has loved us, as we read in the gospel last week. And so Christ continues to explain to us what it means, truly means, to love. Love is not an affection. It's not butterflies in the stomach. It's not feeling good about being in the company of someone. These may be things which accompany a love. But that's not what love is. Because love has to exist when there's not butterflies in the stomach, but when there are knots in the stomach. But love has to exist when you don't have affection for someone, but feel repugnance for them. Love still has to be there, because it's above and beyond all these things. It's in spite of how we may feel naturally to one another, and sometimes how we may feel naturally even towards God, when we don't understand why He has or hasn't done something or other. Love, as you've heard, if you've heard me preach before, you've heard me say it many times, and they're not my words. Love is a choice that each of us must make, to want what is good for one another, to treat one another according to their dignity as a human being made in the image and likeness of God, for whom Christ shed every drop of His blood. We need to love one another according to that dignity, whether others act according to that dignity or not. There are plenty in our lives who we may see and say, they don't deserve it. I can't be bothered. We've all had those days, I'm sure. Christ could have thrown His hands up. In fact, at that time, you know, how long must I be with you, He said. Now, He didn't throw His hand up and say, I give up. But they're a handful. And He's talking about the apostles themselves, His closest collaborators and followers. Therefore, to love as Christ has asked us to love can be heroic at times, can seem almost impossible. Now, I don't know if any of you have had such tragic events as to feel hate or tempted to hate somebody in your life, and those events can happen. But even then, that is why the Christian must look at the cross. None of us have been persecuted as Christ was persecuted. None of us have been rejected as He was rejected. Certainly none of us have been crucified like He was crucified. And He didn't deserve any of it. All He ever did was good. And we all, I'm sure, every one of you has had the experience where you do good and you try to do good and it's not appreciated. And even worse, it's thrown in your face. And that hurts. That's exactly what happened to Christ for everything that He did. This was His reward. Why should we expect any more or less, depending how you look at it? But Christ does give us more. He doesn't ask us to go this far, although at times it may feel like that. But He does ask us to forget ourselves in that holy aspect of forgetting ourselves. Not forgetting to eat or take care of our health, obviously. But to forget ourselves so that we may have room in our hearts for one another, and most especially for God. If we're so full of ourselves, we're all familiar with that expression, and we're all familiar with people who are full of themselves, then there is no room to love one another. And if we're not loving one another, and if we're not loving God, as Christ says, if you can't love your brother and your sister, who you can see, how can you love God? How can you say, oh yes, I love God, and ignore the people around you, and sometimes your own family members, your own community members? So how do we begin to love? How do we get over these difficulties we may have with people? These feuds, silent feuds sometimes, not speaking with family members for years at times. Sometimes it may seem, I just can't bring myself to call them or to write them. And I've come across cases, and maybe this is more of an Italian thing, where people say, I can't even pray for them, because whenever I do, I just get mad and I want to throttle them. The only way through this is God's love. On your knees, Lord, if your knees still working well enough that you can kneel, Lord, give me a heart transplant with your heart. Change my heart. Let me see the true value of these people that drive me insane, that make me want to not love. Let me see who they really are in your eyes, in the sense that what you've done for them, help me to love them. And for to soften our hearts, therefore, our Lord also gives us this other, it's a command, really. We must keep his word, because we can't expect to be able to do any of these things, especially to forgive and to love, if we're not trying to live God's law of love. And all that is to love God above all things and love each other as ourselves. It's all about love. The Beatles had one song, right, at least. I don't know the rest of the lyrics. It is all about that, because God is love, and that's what he asks us. And it's not just to make our lives difficult, obviously. Can you imagine not looking so much at what you have to do to love, but if everyone around you loved you as perfectly as they possibly could, in no selfish way, for no selfish motive, but they loved you and were always eager to give you whatever you needed, that you could rely and confide in everyone around you. What a perfect world. What a great society. No one aggravated you. Or everyone at least tried not to aggravate you because they knew your sensitivities. They were considerate all the time. They left the last Tim Tam always for you, whatever it is. You think about that and how great that would be. And then if we all just did that, how much easier life would be. It doesn't mean we don't all have a little bit of we all have a bit of strange things about us. A strange is not the right word. We're all very individual, let's put it that way. And there'll be things that challenge us that the other person does. But if we get rid of all selfishness, if we live God's word, if we allow it to be absorbed within us, then loving will become sweet. It will always be a sacrifice, because love is to give yourself to another, a death to yourself of sorts, sometimes a real death. But it will become a sweet death, so to speak. For those of you who are married, you know all about the struggles and the sacrifices of life, of life and of love. You know all about having to give yourself to another, of having to die to your own opinions and your own desires at times in order so the other may be happy. And you do that willingly, I hope, maybe at times more willingly than others. That is what God is asking of each one of us to everyone. Obviously, in a spousal relationship, it's a little bit different and more intense. Christ will therefore give us the strength to do this. And he gives us peace when we do this. He says, I give you my peace, his peace that allowed him to love us until death, death on a cross. Let us go forward, therefore, in peace. Not resent that we must love one another. Well, I have to love them, don't I? I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to. My goodness, that's not quite getting the right idea. If that's where we start, okay, that's where we start. But we need to go above and beyond that, remembering the peace that comes through real love. Of course, we always have the great saints who have gone before us. If today was on Sunday, it would be a feast, at least for us, of St. Joseph, St. Joseph the Worker. He gets another feast later on in the month. He who loved as perfectly, apart from the Blessed Virgin Mary, who loved even more perfectly, as any man could. He who worked for love of God. He was a carpenter, of course. There's at least one carpenter in here as well. I don't know if any rest of you are carpenters. He worked for the love of God, for the love of people, to help others out, from what we know from scriptures and from a few other extra-biblical sources. What he did, he always did for the love of his neighbor and for the love of one another. And of course, the same goes on an even higher level for the Blessed Virgin Mary. She said yes to the angel at the Annunciation, for love of God and for love of you and for love of me, not for love of herself, not for any glory for herself. She said yes constantly, and at the foot of the cross, she said yes again. She loved the world so much that she didn't only give up her own life, but she offered the life of her son as another heroic step again. It's one thing to give up our own life, okay, but to offer the life of your children as well, that's something which goes above and beyond. And let us pray, therefore, for this real grace to forget ourselves in that holy way, to love one another, to be concerned about the good of one another, to be concerned about their sensitivities, to forget our own sensitivities, to not be so sensitive and be offended by things when most of the time people don't even mean to offend us and we choose to be offended. Let us rather give everyone a benefit of the doubt. Let us look for the love in other people's actions rather than looking for any spite or anything else. Because that is what Christ always did. Looked for the good. Grabbed that good and tried to make it grow. We need to do that for one another. And we need to let God do that in ourselves. Let us pray to St. Joseph and the Virgin Mary that this may be so.